This is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach and an irreverent priestess with modern soul medicine for the everyday extraordinary woman or man, and I'm here to help you create better life and better work. This show covers topics on thinking and mindset, business and life strategy, and of course, spirituality and energetics as well. You're listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. More is not better, better is better.
This is episode 16. I think we're live. I do believe we are live. Hi, you guys. Allison Crow here. And today's going to be a little different. And honestly, I don't even really know what today's going to be like. But here's what I know. Let me do a little quick check on my tech. Thank you for your patience. So let's take a breath together. Whether you're here live or whether you're listening to the podcast, let's just take a breath and slow down wherever you are. I notice I just stopped my breath. That's why we need to take a breath. So let's try that again. Perfect. So good morning. It's a different kind of day for the Better Life, Better Work show. And I'll give you a little bit of background. Welcome to the live viewers that are here on the live stream. And welcome to the replay viewers and the podcast viewers. We are on episode 16. And I've taken a couple, like when I've been out of town. And I think there's been 2 weeks that I haven't done the show. And I made a commitment to show up every Friday. And in the last couple of weeks, I have been a little lower and a little chiller energy-wise. And yesterday, I noticed, so I'm in the middle of running this challenge with my Facebook group called Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. And we're running a 10-day live video challenge, and I'm holding a lot of space, and I'm watching a lot of videos, and my own heart and mind are thinking, and all of this is coming off of a first quarter of working like a crazy mofo, of creating, of pulling off Camp Star Heart, etc. And all of these things are just different elements of my business, not to mention my life that's going on, but a lot of my life is my business. And last night, as I was having a mild panic attack about the fact that I had a show to do today, I remembered that I'm my own boss and that my boss is really cool and my boss is really talented. And my boss is really loving, and she's also really wise. And my boss is not going to fire me if I don't do things the way I've always done them. In fact, sometimes she likes something different. So I thought I would, you know, I thought I would do something a little different today. And normally I have a topic, and I know what I'm going to talk about. And today I'm just going to share what's on my heart. I'm cozying up with a cup of coffee in a Talavera mug from a friend from a long while ago. And I'm just going to share what's on my heart and see what comes out. And part of this is some of the musings and things I've learned or what's on my heart about being a middle-aged female entrepreneur. And I don't even know that I'm really comfortable with that word. That word is, it's like it's real trendy. I don't think of myself as an entrepreneur. I guess I'd have to look up the definition of it, but I think of myself as self-employed. I own and run this small business. I create a lot of content. I do coaching. I do retreats. I do events. I do online classes. And I've been self-employed since what year was it? Since 2003. Since 2003, I've been working for myself. I have not had a boss since I've been self-employed, but I've had bosses. I haven't had a boss since 2011. But I've been self-employed since 2003. And it's interesting because you can take any time you want. So I absolutely had the option to just not show up today. Just say, you know what? I'm tired. Self-care. And then the wiser business part of my inside self says, well, what if you just show up anyways? What if you commit to showing up and seeing what happens? You don't have to show up your best self. You don't have to show up like in teacher mode. And I kind of chuckle at the first few episodes because I was like, oh, I'm going to have a curriculum and I'm going to teach these things. And now I've chilled the fuck out. Thank you. And can just relax, because sometimes the best things that happen are when I just don't overprepare. I don't overthink. I don't over plan and prep, and I just relax and be me. And so that's one aspect of working for myself. I consider myself a recovering overachiever. And this morning at 6:15, I wrote a post about where I am. So another part of my journey that some of you may or may not know is that January 2016, I finally got diagnosed with adrenal fatigue and burnout. And that was after many, many months, probably even close to a year of just being exhausted and tired and stressed and burnout. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. You know, a lot of it was I blamed on perimenopause and hormonal changes, and it just was a really confusing time for me. And I had actually a couple of other clients who are also high achievers, and they had either been through or were beginning to go through. There were a couple who had been through and were on the other side of severe adrenal fatigue and burnout, Hashimoto's, etc. And the more I talked around to my colleagues and my friends, many, many, many of us are high performing, high achieving women, whether in the corporate world or here in the online space or in the coaching and leadership and development space. And we're running our lives, running our families, running our businesses, or doing our jobs, and our bodies are screaming at us that we're running in a gear, we're burning the gears, we're grinding the gears. That's what it feels like in my body. I told my husband the other day, I was like, I can feel my cortisol in my body. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And then I talked to my doctor and she was like, oh no, you can totally feel it in your body. but it feels like your gears are grinding inside, and it's exhausting. And it's the same way when you're in your car and you grind your gears, you kind of jump back and you shock, you know, you're impacted by that grind. So over the last year, I have switched up my diet a little bit. I'm not able to do anything too overwhelming. I've started walking again. I've started feeling a whole lot better. And in fact, this year, I started walking in December. In November, I felt like the angels came and told me that if I don't start walking and start gently moving, not exercising, because when you have adrenal fatigue and burnout, exercise can actually, especially hardcore, the way we used to do exercise, can be really bad for you. So it's really important to be gentle, to rest a lot, to allow yourself these naps. And I just heard my angels drop in and say, walk or die. And it wasn't a physical death. It was more of an emotional death. I talk about that in episode 4 with my friend John Davis, Move or Die. And so I began walking. And as I began walking, along with the supplements I take, my doctor's care, and some small changes in my business and plenty of rest, I began to feel better. And I began to get my vitality back, and I began to feel like I got my life back, right? And by the time my 45th birthday came around on February 6th this year, 2017, I remember looking in the mirror and feeling the most beautiful I'd ever felt, starting to feel alive and vibrant again. And then, you know, life goes on. And it's not that it's all gone away. And it's a journey. It is not a destination. You don't have this situation in your life. It's changing the way you live. And as a recovering overachiever, so my definition of that for me, I can't really do it for anybody else, but as a recovering overachiever, there's a lot of places that stems from. Frankly, a lot of it stems from as a child wanting to do and be good and liked and loved. I love to do a good job. I love to make a difference. I love to be helpful. I love what it does for my clients. I love what it does for my community. And I love what it does for me. And the way my brain works, the same creativity that, you know, I have this painting that, not a painting, it's actually a digital piece of art that I created that a lot of people have purchased. And we'll put that in the show notes. Elise, help me remember to grab a copy of that and a link to people if they want to buy it, because I love when they buy that painting. It's a really sweet picture, and it's these two tiny little people, and there's this big, huge thought bubble coming out of one of them, and it's full of all these different colors, and it's really meant to be my brain, and my brain thinks like that. And I was thinking this morning of drawing another version, and the other version is the thought bubble goes underneath the earth, and it's all darker and shadow colors. It's the heaviness. It's the both and of this. And it's not bad, you guys. It's not bad. For a long time as an overachiever, what I thought I had to do was I could only be that bright, colorful, positive, successful, happy, thriving Allison. But I realized, as we talked in last week's show with John Steven Cisneros, that I was segmenting a part of myself. And a lifelong, you know, since 24 being treated for clinical depression, I realized that word, depressing down emotions. I was depressing down the shadow. I was depressing down the oversensitivity. So here's what's interesting. As a, as somebody who's deeply intuitive, I can hear people's thoughts. I can read their energy. I just know random shit. Wayne Dyer always said psychic means of source. It doesn't necessarily mean you have a crystal ball and you're a fortune teller, but of source. And there are certain six sensory gifts that we all have. And I'm very aware of mine. I hear and read and know. It's so funny. The one time in my whole marriage, my husband lied to me. Actually, the two times. One, it was about something big. And the other time, it was about tacos. I knew he lied and I called him on it. And it wasn't from his body language. I could just hear the real thought in his head. I know, kind of weird. But part of that is my brain and the way that I scan the environment and the way that I experience the world sees a whole lot. I take in visual, audio, tactile, kinesthetic, energetic, and also invisible six sensory information. You guys, it's a lot. And so it does. It taxes. It's a lot of energy to take in. It's a lot of energy to process. Oh, and by the way, then add the brain on top of that. And, you know, my brain. So there were so many good things about my childhood, you guys. I had a really awesome and a really horrible childhood. Sorry, mom and dad, but this is the truth, okay? There were some really great things, and my parents always showed up for us. They were always there for us, but there was also a little bit of trauma, and there was a little bit of neglect that was probably common at the time. You know, we didn't have helicopter parents. There was times when, you know, we were hungry. We didn't have a lot of, you know, for some reason we didn't have food, or my dad would be really rich and then really broke. And then also I'm a child of alcoholic parents, and my dad has been in recovery forever and is a big leader in recovery. But that creates a lot of shit for five little kids. And everybody's got their family stories, but I realized as an adult with the help of Jeffrey Rutstein, I realized through my dog who does this, my dog sits in the back corner and she'll sit up next against me and she'll scan the environment. And my dog also has a lot of anxiety. And I was sharing this with, Jeffrey one day in a session, and he asked me about the trauma in my childhood. And all of a sudden I start putting the pieces together. I've had breathing sessions with Cole Clayton from Australia, and he gave me some information about the vagus nerve and how our breath affects our fight or flight syndrome. I've been working with Isabel Tierney, who is one of my colleagues and friends and a sister in the League of Angels, and she spoke at Camp Starheart, and she's been doing a lot of teaching about creating heaven on earth and the God response and moving out of fight or flight and into the God response. And so for the last 3 or 4 years, much of the learning that the deep inner work that I've done as a human being, which does impact my small business, by the way, has been about noticing, releasing. It's been about the spiritual work, the energetic work, and even the cognitive work, not to mention the physiobiological work of this crazy vagus nerve, this fight or flight response, and the impact it has on us. Instead of just going, oh, I have fatigue, like I'm really learning about what's going on? Like really knowing what's going on and getting both the clinical information, getting the logical information, getting the psychological information, and then also getting the spiritual downloads. It's been a really intense time. And I know I'm not alone. I know that there are many other people going through this holistic, multidimensional set of awareness in their life. So what does all that have to do with being this boss lady, middle age? Well, it's interesting. We were having a little happy hour office hours with some of the members of one of my communities last night. And, you know, most of us are middle age or older. There's a couple of younger people, a couple of millennials, but most of us are middle age or older. And I don't know what you think middle age is. I'm 45. I don't feel old, but I'm also not a 20 something. When I see some of these young men and women who are able to live, quote, the laptop lifestyle, and they talk, like my friend Stacey Nelson keeps talking about doing a retreat in Bali. And do you know when I think about the plane trip from Dallas, Texas to Bali, my whole body freaks out, right? Like I about shit a brick because the panic that comes through my whole body of the just the physical stress. It's not the emotional or anything else. It's just the physical stress of traveling that much. And so it's interesting, like the things that, you know, and when I was in my 20s, I was running around the world. I was spending time all over the world. I was adventuring in Colorado. I was, you know, someone called and said, hey, meet me in Paris on Christmas Eve, which is tomorrow. And I would buy a expensive plane ticket and get my travel bag and go. And life's just a little different for me now, right? And yet, so we were talking last night. I was sharing, you know, one of the other amazing things that happened in my family is that both my dad and my aunt Joanne Crow was an IT professor in the University of Texas School of Nursing. And she and my dad, so she was studying internet technology, informational technology way before anybody was into computers. And I remember her saying, you guys need to have computers. You need to know what computers are. These things are going to be a big deal. So in my family, and then my dad, I remember he always had, I don't remember what kind they were, but he had these computers that you could carry like a briefcase and it opened up. And my dad always had computers. And so from a very young age, in the 70s and 80s, the Crow kids, who didn't have food to eat, but we had computers. I'm sure we had a lot of food to eat, but I was always scared of the big black pot of beans that my dad would cook. I didn't even try beans until in my 20s. And so, you know, we were gifted with this. And I remember when I graduated from college, it took me 5 years to 5.5 years to graduate from college because I moved around a couple times. But I graduated from undergraduate school and then I went back to graduate, but undergraduate in December. And I went to Sears with some graduation money and I bought a 100 megahertz computer. And at the time, I was the only, that's what I bought for myself for graduation from college. We did not have email in college. At the time, there was AOL. And I moved to Colorado and I went to go be this, I got a job as a nanny. My undergraduate degree, you guys are going to laugh. This is like a trivia question. My undergraduate degree is in home economics. So I was studying to be a wife and a mom. I literally wanted an MRS degree, but the universe had something different in plan for me. So I went and bought myself this 100 megahertz computer from, it was an HP, a Hewlett Packard, and moved to Colorado, packed up my truck and moved to Colorado and skied for 2 weeks, couch surfed for 2 weeks, and then got this job as a full-time live-in nanny. And I had this computer in my space. And my computer connected to the phone line, and I was able to use AOL. And, you know, that's when I started meeting men online, or boy, at the time it felt like boys. And I just always had a computer in my lap. And so I think it's interesting now, you know, here, so fast forward now to this time, and I've been on social media and been on Facebook and Twitter since, I don't really use Twitter very much anymore, but I've been on Facebook since 2007 or 2008. I can't exactly remember, but it was an early adopter for people my age. And we were talking last night about, you know, it's very common for millennials now and for many, many people to do business online. And then before that, there were people who did business with computers, but they were like computer nerds, right? And so when I look around at my peers from college and from college and from high school, there are some people that are on Facebook, but professionally, very few of them are doing business online. There's a whole lot of doctors and lawyers and a whole lot of stay-at-home moms and a whole lot of professional women. I actually graduated with a class with a lot of amazing professional women. And yet I'm one of the few people that was an early adopter of doing business online. Now, there may be people that I don't know or I see them, but they're not running their business in this new way of what so many people are calling us online entrepreneurs. And so that's a long way of talking about why I still think of myself as self-employed. You know, I'm not really trying to build a scalable or a sellable business. You know, I'm not looking to get funding. I'm my own angel investor. But it's interesting being somebody and then going through these, you know, being somebody who does this and then going through these physical changes. And I know in like news stories and in research, they're talking about the impact of the digital world on children and talking about the impact of the digital world and always being plugged in on us, on adults. And I know without a shadow of a doubt. And this is an intuitive knowing. So my doctors haven't told me. This is just kind of a combination of some information that I've read. I can't cite or source any places. But I know that many of us who are feeling overwhelmed, and this is men and women, is one of them is because the screen time. And I love the screen time, but what it does is every bit of information that our brain experiences takes energy to process, not just in the wheels of the brain, but in the body itself. And so that's having a huge impact on us. And so it's interesting because if society continues to last, I think they will be studying this and they will, you know, we're on the forefront of this. We're on the leading edge of new ways of working. It's very common. I see so many people. It's like when I was 20, I wish this had been an option. I would have killed it if I had realized early enough that it would have been an option. I'd be a gazillionaire and because I would have been one of the first people out there doing it. Although I didn't have the wisdom in my 20s, I was still a mess. But we don't have a lot of knowledge. We're doing the best that we can, right? And as I look around my peers, a lot of the questions I ask myself is, who are the female mentors? Who are the female mentors who are doing similar work in a similar way that we can learn from? And frankly, I have had tons of coaches. I see public figures out there that are, they may have a bigger audience than me, but I feel like energetically we're on the same level. And they were on the forefront too. Like, who came before us to do this? Nobody. We are learning this and figuring it out on the leading edge. We are going first. It's all a grand experiment. And so there's an element of unknown. And obviously a lot more is known now in 2017 than was in 2013 when I first started, and it was in 2007 and 8 when I first started. You know, actually it was interesting because when I first started in real estate, it had been only been a few years that when I bought my first house, I bought my first house in 1997, and you didn't have to look up houses in an MLS book. You could look them up online. But my first few years in real estate, we didn't have, not everybody, everybody was still faxing. They weren't emailing. You were still faxing contracts. Oh my gosh, things have changed so much. And so we have all this change, et cetera, et cetera. All this to say, I don't even know where I'm going. We have a saying in Share Your Heart, Show Your Work, babble yourself to brilliance. Babble till you get to the brilliance. So thank you for staying with me. This is part of my creative expression. What I know about all that soup, all those ingredients mixed together, is that here I am today on May 19th, 2017, and I'm feeling full and a little tired, and it's not time to quit. And so I've got to take care of my body. I have got to quit trying for the A+. I have got to quit trying to prove to myself, not to any of you. You guys seem to love and appreciate just when I show up. And so why am I busting my ass and hurting my body to be something more than I'm able to be? And the theme of this show is more is not better, better is better. And so I've been scrambling a little bit. You know, pulling off an event is when you are a multi-sensory person, and one of my friends said to me last night, she said, I feel like an autistic child who has a sensory disorder, right? Like, I have a friend from high school whose daughter, like the little ends of the socks, you know, the seam in the socks, and the seams in clothes, she could feel those on her and it would wig her out. And a lot of times I don't have that with clothing, but I have that with energy, and I take in a lot. And my friend feels the same way. And I don't know where I was going with this. That's the other thing, right? The other physical symptom is like all of a sudden you have these massive holes in your brain, these little brain farts, these gaps. And what do we do with it? We either become a victim of it and we slow down and we quit. We don't slow down, we stop, or we throw ourselves off the edge, or we slow down and we get present. And for me, I realize over and over and over again that more is not better. Harder work is not better. It will take hard work, but hard work can be easy, which I realize is an oxymoron. But we got to slow down and figure out I love this. Vanessa Horn is a colleague and a sister friend of mine. And Vanessa was so sweet the other day. She and I were talking about, she was like, Allison, let's figure out a way for you to create this offering that is elegant. Elegant. I had never thought of the feeling, not elegant for everybody else, but what would feel elegant for me? And when I think about the word elegant, my spine stands up straight. And when my spine is straight, energy, spiritual energy can flow, right? There's a nice clear channel. When I think about elegant, my lungs are clear and my body is balanced and I have a smile on my face, but I also move gently and slowly and with feminine grace. And as Vanessa was talking about that, like I heard that. And then somebody else in my tribe, I can't remember who it was right now, and I'm so sorry, but they mentioned the word bliss. And those two words are really resonating. Those two words are calling me back from an overachievement bender that I've been on, right? Like, so if I'm a recovering overachiever and I have a relapse, right? Just like a drug addict. You might be sober for years and then all of a sudden you don't just have one drink. You go back on a bender. And you guys, I've been on a bender for the last 9 months. And I'm not so much sorry to you, I'm sorry to me. I'm sorry to me that I've been on this bender of overachieving for the last 9 months. And so it's like one day at a time. Today I come back and I slow down and I focus on elegance and ease and play and joy. And better is better. And better is elegant, ease, play, joy, bliss, and prosperity, right? Like, and this is where the ego comes in, because the ego, or maybe my old experience, you know, the way my subconscious took in my, you know, how we all like get these money imprints and we all form these beliefs about whatever, you know, we form these beliefs. So I formed some beliefs about money and a lot of them I've overcome, but it's almost like there's this belief that I have to work hard to get money, or I have to work so hard I'm going to crush myself, or there's something about that grinding gear with money. One of my good friends has this belief that I'll always be taken care of. And I hate when she says it. It pisses me off. I don't hate her. What it is I'm jealous that my beliefs don't align with what actually is. I am always taken care of, but my little insecure ego beliefs freak the fuck out and start striving and scrambling and worrying about how am I going to pay my taxes. And even though my business is really successful and I'm profiting first and all this bullshit, that's actually amazing. It's amazing bullshit, because all the bullshit is an opportunity to learn and grow. Duh. Like I said, I'm not a victim of it. This is actually a huge benefit and blessing. And in that contrast, in that pressure, in that awareness that I've got some gentle readjusting and soothing to do in my own thinking, in my consciousness, to combine, let spirit talk to my brain, literally my brain. I call it, you know, we have programming. Our beliefs are programmed just like code in a computer, right? So if you're building a website using code and you have an error in the code, the website doesn't function the way that you want it to. And so I always say that our thinking is actually like code, and it can be rewritten. And some of it, it's almost like we got to rewrite it 10 times a day to build the new synapses. This is just another little side note of how neurology and our brain forms, you know, it strengthens patterns. And so I've got a little bit more work to do, clearly, around it doesn't have to be so hard. It can be elegant. More is not better, and better is better. And my body is one of the beautiful gifts and one of the beautiful messengers of slow the fuck down. Be gentle. And in this moment, I have this, like, I don't know if this is valuable to you. I'm seeing the feed of people online, and I'm getting really great comments. So thank you. I feel value in talking through this out loud. I feel value in it, right? And maybe you'll feel value too. Maybe somebody else will get some insights for themselves. And I feel this little moment of pride that, you know what? Better is better. It didn't have to be a planned out class. I didn't have to have 10 bullet points. I may not even send out the notes, the show notes, right? And the show notes come lately. I used to prepare them ahead of time, and now the show notes come because Elise, who is my producer for the show, she's amazing. She produces it. She does all the audio, video. She wrote the song, and she pulls all this stuff down and gives me the show notes, and I go back through them and kind of clean them up a little bit, and then we send them out for the Better Life, Better Work tribe. And you know what? Maybe I won't even do that today. Maybe I'll just give myself a fucking break, because more is not better. Better is better. And I have this little moment of pride of like, Allison, trust yourself. I have put in. Someone asked me 2 years ago, I was on a panel of coaches and someone was asking all the panel of coaches, what's the secret to having a six-figure business or a sustainable business or whatever it was at the time? And I don't remember all the other answers because my own answer came through. It was because I have 25,000 hours plus of doing this. I have so many hours of joyful, not, I don't want to call it hard work. To you, it might look hard because that's just how fast my brain goes. This is what I do. I love to learn. I love to take classes. I love to experiment. I just keep showing up. And when my body says, you have showed up a lot, what if we showed up a little differently? It doesn't mean we're not going to show up, but what if we didn't have to show up 24/7 or 23 hours a day? Or what if you actually didn't take your phone into your bedroom at night? Right? I don't know what the answer is, but I can feel my body saying the old ways of working that your 30-year-old body could sustain are not working anymore. So let's find new ways to support you, support your business, etc. And you know what? It's so great because I don't have to go into a boss and say, hey, boss, this shit ain't working for me. I gotta quit. I am the boss. And so my boss comes in and says, hey, badass, I notice that you're still doing really great work, but at the end of the day, there's not a lot of joy left. And it's not because you're unhappy. It's because you're tired. So what if we figure out a way to bring back the elegance? What if we figure out a way, so like real life in the moment, this Share Your Heart, Show Your Work challenge that I'm doing with my online group, Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. So if you want to come join it, find us on Facebook, Share Your Heart, Show Your Work. It's a co-working space for heart-centered entrepreneurs. And we're having so much fun right now doing this live video challenge. Clients are already getting, their own clients, having insights and ahas and awareness. It's so fun for me. And it's a free challenge. And normally I do this free challenge and then I offer this class. And I've taught this class 3 different times online. We have a blast. It's amazing. But something is in me saying, do this differently. Instead of wham, bam, 6 weeks, thank you, ma'am. What if we create something more sustainable, more gentle, still powerful? Still powerful, but more gentle and more sustainable for both you and your clients. But here's the thing. It's really for me. And the clients that say yes, it will work for. And some of them may not want it, so they won't say yes. But I can't worry about, like, a lot of times in these businesses, people say, well, what do your clients want? What do your clients want? And that's fantastic as long as what your client wants aligns with what you want. Because if your client wants ABC, but you don't want it, it's going to create a crash. So it's kind of an interesting place. And as I was talking with my League of Angels sisters yesterday on the phone or on Zoom or whatever it was we were on, we were all talking about the new ways that spiritual entrepreneurs, spiritual business people, spiritual human beings, it doesn't matter. We don't have to have any classification. But the new ways that we are being called to be and do and live and work and love in this world. Last night I was talking with one of my clients and we were talking about like the energetics and the moon cycles and the spiritual consciousness. And she was like, lady, this stuff ain't ended until 2021. And right now it feels heavy and intense. And I see a lot of people that are connected in with these energies and they're feeling beat to shreds. Like I feel like I'm in the dryer. It's hot. I'm being tumbled like in a rock tumbler. And a lot of the leaders that talk about, you know, I just kind of dabble in it, but they're talking about this stuff ain't going away for a while. But here's what I know it's doing. By the time we get to 2021, we'll be like, this will be easy. We'll know how to do it. We'll know how to do it. We'll know how to be. And so we are all being tumbled into a new way of being. Old structures are falling away. And whether that's global structures or political structures, religion structures, diet structures, certainly business structures, and we are being asked to create in a new way. I'm being asked to create in a new way. And so right now I feel like I'm being prompted to give myself permission to not even go a full hour, which might be delicious for you guys, but I want to ask a couple of self-reflection questions. Take another breath and just check in with yourself. Is your body in alignment with the way you're being in the world right now? And if it is, perfect. And if your body's going, no, not quite so much, then I want you to take another breath and ask your body, what do you need from me? And notice the answer that comes up for you. Continue just slow and gentle deep breathing. And I want you to ask your inner wisdom. I want you to ask your inner wisdom to communicate with you. I want you to ask whatever your higher power is to communicate with you about what it wants you to know, what it wants you to know about your life, your work, your health, your way of working, your whatever. I don't know what it's going to say. It may talk to you about the shoes you wear. I don't know. But for me, I'm not going to quit working. I can't even imagine that. Every once in a while, like, I have this fantasy that my husband's screenplay will get picked up the way Matt Damon and Ben Affleck did, and then off will be, and I'll be this glorious wife of a famous screenwriter, and we'll be millionaires, zillionaires, billionaires. My programming, my spiritual consciousness can imagine that, but my programming cannot. We'll just be frank here. And then I think, well, even if I had all the money in the world, I still would be doing some form of work because I enjoy it. I wouldn't be sitting around doing nothing. I would completely be doing what I'm doing now. I just might have more help around my house. I don't know. That's not the point. So check in with yourself. Just spend some time checking in. If more is not better, what is better for you? But don't ask your ego self. Don't ask comparison and don't ask the world. Ask your inner wisdom. What would be better? And when your ego says, well, that's impossible, or yeah, but, I want you just to set that aside for a minute and spend some time journaling or thinking or talking with a trusted friend or coach or advisor about what does better really look like? And is that my true version of better? Not more, but and then why? Why is that better? Why is that better? Always get back down to the deep why. And just take a moment to, like, you know, you go to the chiropractor and you get an adjustment and you get realigned. Take a moment to realign with your inner wisdom, with your check in with your body, because your body knows. Spend some time listening. Do some of the deep inner work. Take a breath. Slow down, change up your routine a little bit. Give yourself some space between the activities, the effort, and notice. Just become a noticer. I don't know what it will do for you. I know what it's doing for me. And by the way, it doesn't all happen in one session. There is not this big moment when you know your purpose or you know how things are to be. I've never experienced that. I experience moments of clarity. I experience moments of information, and together those little moments are puzzle pieces, and the journey begins to get a little clearer, and then it gets cloudy again, and then it gets clearer. So this is just the way it is. So I want to thank you guys for just letting me be me and kind of riff off the top of my head today. I love doing this work, and I love giving myself permission to share hopefully valuable content. It's valuable to me. If I'm just doing it for me, I guess that's fine. But I'm pretty sure there's a few of you that it's helping. I get some messages here and there. I get some good feedback. Thank you. And I appreciate this space. I appreciate myself for being willing to show up, even though I, quote, wasn't prepared. I think everything really does turn out perfect if we continue to show up, if we continue to listen in, if we continue to be present with ourselves, if we continue our journey of self-awareness, if we continue to love what is. I want to thank you for being a part of my community. I want to thank you for being a listener. I want to thank you for sharing either the podcast or the live videos. As far as the podcast goes, you know, it's interesting. There's so many people, and I get it. You know, wouldn't it be nice to be one of the new and noteworthy? Wouldn't it be nice to get accolades and perfect 5 stars? And you know what? That's a lot of work. And so I'm really just hoping that this spreads by word of mouth. I think it's even already too late. I've already been alive for too many weeks to be new and noteworthy. And would I like this audience to spread? Absolutely. And will it spread if it's valuable? Absolutely. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep showing up. I hope you'll keep showing up too. And let's see where life takes us. Let's see where work takes us. Let's see where spirit takes us. I want to invite you, if you feel a calling, I do have a couple spaces in my one-on-one roster. I'm doing some other group work. I'm going to be launching I'm going to be doing this business class, and I'm going to be doing a women's circle soon for a small group of women. That's totally a mystic witchy thing. I'll talk about that another day when we'll have a full-on woo-woo episode that has nothing to do with business and everything to do with crystals in your bra and channeling and tarot cards and oracle cards and altars and all kinds of other stuff. That's for another day for the Rainbow Mystics. But if any of you feel a desire to do some deep inner work, and certainly we can do some outer work too, but to really do some of this inner work, I have a couple spaces in my one-on-one roster. And you can go to alisoncrowe.com. And there is a coaching tab. Please read the coaching tab carefully. My coaching is not for everyone. My one-on-one coaching is not inexpensive. It is a significant investment. And I only open up a couple of slots. I don't work with lots of people. There was a time and place when I had 13 clients a day. I do 1 to 2 clients a day. That's it. I'm learning to work with more elegance. I'm learning to work in a way that I really give my time and energy to just a few people, because otherwise I can't remember the coaching conversations we had. So I love you guys. I appreciate you. If you want to connect with me, alisoncrowe.com, Alison Crowe on Facebook, both my business page and my personal page, and the Share Your Heart, Show Your Work group on the Facebook page. I'd love to have you be a member of our community. You can sign up to get love letters from me on my Facebook or on my webpage, alisoncrowe.com. There's all kinds of good stuff there. 12 years. Wow, baby. All right, you guys, I love you. I'm closing out. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Better Life, Better Work show. This show is recorded live on Friday mornings at 11 a.m. Central on my Facebook page at www.alisoncrowe.live. You can also get show notes and connect with me at www.alisoncrowe.com/better. This show is Leroy Brown and Clementine approved. They're here to encourage you to think about adopting before you shop for your next pet. More is not better, better is better.